It's on.
Okay, it's 2 o'clock. Let's call the meeting to order for the City of Newport. Newport Committee meeting. Today's date the 12th. And the minutes were sent out by Peggy. Do I hear approval of the minutes, or you can take a quick...
I need a copy, Mr. Chairman.
A quick look.
It's been a while since we've been here.
Since December 11th.
Yeah.
Well, that's weird. I wasn't on vacation December 11th. Maybe I just said I'm not going.
I might mention I forgot to bring the map of the airport with the recommendations of the fellow that worked on his doctorate. I brought it twice. We didn't have meetings. I'll try to maybe bring it next time. I think Ralph would like to take a look at it for sure. Want me to hum or something while the tape recorder's going?
The agenda was great, actually.
Yeah. what was the doctoral student's map on?
It's the one that was done by the fellow for his doctorate at Oregon State. He did it. He worked with Oregon Department of Geology, my office, and local in regards to the airport. The weight it can support, what type of aircraft can come in, the recommendations and what have you for the, in case of an emergency. And that's what he got his doctorate on. So it's rather impressive.
You're
going to go to this meeting if you want.
We do need one more head, right?
Yeah, but the congressman.
We need to get to you. We need to move on. So
you're allowed for proxies for quorum.
No, we do have a quorum. We have three.
That are doing it.
Okay.
Well, I guess two of us can approve the minutes then.
Sure, I'll approve them again.
In a second, okay. So it would be approved. Okay, next on the list. Operations.
Yes. Well, I don't know, maybe Ted would want to report on any of the runway stuff.
Ted has a chance to talk two issues down.
Oh. On projects.
Well, that's what you're covering, though?
Okay.
I'll say that. Operation-wise, just some happenings going around in the state due to the recent sequester. They're looking at cutting some towers in North Bend, Klamath Falls, Pendleton, Salem, and Troutdale are part of those towers that the FAA is looking at cutting back.
Okay.
So that was pretty interesting, I figured. On top of that, there's a couple bills going on that they're talking about. House Bill 2710 opposes limits on UAV drones, and that's up to be voted on.
Are we talking state or federal?
State.
For state drones.
State drones.
And the
other
one.
Funny how the state can regulate airspace.
Yeah. Well, I think it's more of an adoption of possible rules or how they want to limit, because they are worried about privacy, and there's a Senate Bill 71 for the privacy parts of the drones, which is kind of interesting. The only reason I bring it up is because you guys like to know what's going on with the local boys, and out in Siletz, the guys out in Siletz have been contacted by somebody who would like to use that BD microjet airframe as a drone.
As a platform.
As a platform. Wow. So that's kind of how that all ties in. So, and all of this was sent to me by Rich, and I thought it would be interesting just to bring you guys up today, because, you know, we incumbents more than just what's happening up at the airport.
That's kind of interesting, because, you know, for years, all the private pilot types, you know, have been scared to death that
the drone thing, because, you know, you run into them with airplanes. Nobody paid much attention except the FAA, who've been very good, actually, about placing restrictions on them. But now the privacy thing has taken over as the new wave of concern all of a sudden.
You need to operate just like we do.
So one of the other ones, there's a couple more on here. One of our tenants is a floatplane owner, so Senate Bill 602 would prohibit floatplanes at Waldo Lake, and I did talk with him about that. He said he was aware of it, and he was hoping that they wouldn't do that because he does fly in there. Mm-hmm. It's a really, really nice place to fly in. So when we were at the, when Terry and I went up for the, I believe it was the ODA meeting, when they were talking about this, they had said that there was only 32 flights into that lake all year, basically, when they were doing their surveying. So they were hoping that they were going to get just restrictions hour-wise, 8 to 5, and of course you couldn't use it as a, like an instruction ground or anything like that.
Or night flights.
Yeah, or night flights. But that is also...
float plane.
Yeah, that's also up to be voted on. That's a Senate bill. And then, of course, the ODA is in conjunction with the Marine Board, the Oregon Marine Board, with Senate Bill 179 on where float planes and land are supposed to be can land and not land throughout the state. So that's another thing that's coming up. And then they're also establishing 178 is establishing civil penalty authority for ODA. I didn't get into that one, but the one that possibly could affect us is House Bill 2766, and they're arguing that the Oregon Pilots it was presented by the Oregon Pilots Association, provides for an increase in aviation jet fuel tax. And they sent out this little thing, and they were saying that Oregon has the lowest jet fuel tax out of the surrounding states, and that is true. It's only a penny per gallon, and avgas is at 9 cents per gallon here in the state of Oregon, and I can pass that around for you guys to look at. But they're looking at increasing that 2 cents. So avgas would be an 11-cent tax per gallon, and jet fuel would be a 3-cent tax per gallon. To help with that tax money, helps goes to their our pavement maintenance projects around the state, our PMPs. So that's important for us, because coming up with a runway rehabbing, that pavement maintenance program will help us in the future to maintain the integrity of our runway.
Does this be federal tax, Lance?
State tax. Yeah. So, and that's their breakdown. But all of that tax money is going to help, because normally it was done with the state's runways, but they want to expand it to include all public-owned runways.
Wow.
So, yeah, they're looking at that. So, and of course, it goes to other maintenance stuff.
Yeah.
But
they do know that Newport's a regular airport. It's not a seaplane base. It just rains a lot here.
Well, that would be true, but you can talk to Crandon-Buell. He's got, well, actually,
it depends on the drainage.
It's a seaplane now. Yeah.
Seaplane. We might all end up with floats one day.
Well, he had, he was up from Hawaii, and he put skis on that and was going to land it in the snow. And
gosh, how fun.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. So, but, so that was that on what I found on kind of the House bills, drones issues, because it affects us locally. And this is a little bit of what they're presenting the RABI over there. They changed their name instead of the Oregon Department. What is it? The Oregon Aviation Business Association has been changed to RABI, and it's not highlighted, I don't remember what. Oh, Oregon Aviation Business Association Board. But that is what they're presenting, if you guys want to read through that. And then the other thing that I thought was kind of interesting is that they want to shoot for another Oregon Aviation Cloister, and they want to look at doing that around September 19th.
Lance, are we members of this organization here?
I have to. I believe we are, but I will double check that.
So it's the Oregon Aviation Industries.
Yeah.
ORAVI.
Yeah, ORAVI. So, yeah. But yeah, so lots of interesting things. And then we haven't discussed the sign issue out front, but thought maybe something simple.
With different words.
Well, yeah. I just,
pass that over to Mark.
That project was given to me.
That's hilarious. Look at the planes. They're the exact same planes.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I know.
But that is just a simple painted on. They have the rock and then the painted on. But I just wanted to show that kind of as like a design feature because I wasn't sure about...
Because we had the same.
Yeah, I like your design. That's awesome.
Well, this was handed to me. This was given to me like last summer to do, and it's
really?
Been sitting here. So,
I don't know. It looks pretty. I mean,
paint is a lot cheaper. I don't know if it stays or it's. I don't know.
Well, I don't know either. That was another design thing that I'd come across.
Somebody makes tombstones and asks. It would be nice to have etched letters that are painted in, and then you've got texture.
So that. Mm-hmm. But that.
I will have this. I'll keep this with me if you want.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, that's great.
What happened to the City of Newport signs on both ends of town?
They're out being refurbished.
Okay, because there's nothing there.
No, just the slider boards.
Okay, yeah.
They'll be back.
So some things that we do have to look forward to is the runway rehab, of course, and then after that we are slated to get a 5-year CIP update, and then also at the same time redo our master plan. So in a couple of years, we'll have to think about getting that done.
The master plan again?
The master plan for the airport, not the business plan that you guys put together for the FBO. It's a different.
Because we did one about 10 years ago, master plan.
Yeah, according to the FAA, it's slated to be done again.
So are we going to maybe form a subcommittee from this committee and other members out there, pilot owners,
engineering firm usually does. Right?
Yeah, the way that the engineering gets a planner guy to come up, and I mean, we're talking a couple years in the future, obviously, when this is going to all happen, but they have a planner come up, and then he goes through, and I'd be, you guys are more than willing to probably sit down, maybe I can talk him into coming to one of the meetings and say, hey, these guys, can you figure what they have into a 5-year plan, and he would know best about, some of the ideas we have wouldn't be in a 5-year program. They'd be more on a business plan like you guys have set up. And so give all of us maybe a better understanding of what the CIP, what is entailed in that, and then help him by us kind of give him a direction that the right. citizens would like to see the airport go.
Got it.
So, but that's just stuff to look forward to, keep in the back of your mind. So, budget. We did just order today another load of Avgas. Saturday was phenomenal. Sorry for those of you that didn't make it up to the barbecue. It was kind of one of those rare Saturdays where the parking lot was empty, but the entire ramp was completely full. We had 20 emplanements that day.
Beautiful.
And a lot of them flew in.
I taxied over there, too.
Yeah. Doug showed up. I kept the Facebook updated with all of the pictures of the planes, but they hit our self-serve really good on Saturday, so we ended up... Yeah, we ended up... today I had to order a load of Avgas for the fuel farm because we're at that point now after Saturday.
How are the prices?
Prices are good. We did raise the self-serve to $5.95 to keep up with the current price, which isn't bad.
Load.
Yeah. Yeah, which isn't bad. So,
as Terry reported last time, that we should get through the winter without raising prices.
Well, winter's over.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I guess so.
I guess we need
this is the definition of spring.
Yeah, what a Newport winter really is.
Or yeah. That's right.
Perpetually in winter. So as far as that, Terry apologizes, but he also on the 8th, Friday, became a grandfather. His granddaughter was finally born in San Francisco, so he's down there enjoying being a granddad for the first time. So
that's great.
That was good, but we get the RAV4, the SUV, and they do have a Highlander ready for us. As far as the rental cars go, and that is a huge hit for us, the pilots calling up and just telling people, hey, we have those on site, is awesome. Because, you know, I had a guy call up and he's like, well, do I have to take a taxi? I said, no. I said, we got cars on site. And he's like, well, I don't want a courtesy car. I said, no, we have a rental car. Really? And then he was like, great. And then so he wants to fly in again with his wife over the weekend because he knows that he's going to be able to get a rental car for the night. And so
is that promoted really on our website now?
Nice on the city website?
Yeah, it'd be nice to make that prominent.
No, I have not put that on there yet.
Okay.
What about after hours service?
The after hours facility is up and running. If they do want to get a car after hours, we work out an arrangement with them. We have lock boxes with the keys.
Okay.
So it's not a big deal. They're not going to have to pay a call-out fee for us to come back up and get the car. Mm-hmm. It'll just be set and done and ready to go.
Yeah, I think Doug's right. I think that needs to be as advertised as much as possible.
And we have an AirNav entry. Can that be added there?
Yes, I can get that on the AirNav.
Okay.
Lance, is it just Toby Murray, or is it also Enterprise at this point?
Enterprise is closed on the weekends, but they do bring cars up for people who call them.
During hours.
During hours, yeah.
Only when they're there.
So they're not doing exactly what Toby Murray is.
Right.
Okay.
Right, yeah. So Toby Murray is on site, and Enterprise is off field, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. No, it's great. And we did get a fly-in guest couple. That was nice.
Yes, that was another one. We wound up a gentleman, and that's the reason why he came in, is because we had the courtesy car available, or not the courtesy car, but the rental car.
Right.
He's like, I don't want to go in, and then he wound up staying with Doug.
Staying at Titan Lodge.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Hmm.
And so, and that was that float plane, that glass air float plane.
That's gorgeous. He's been a couple times.
Yeah.
Well, that's just, again, as an indicator of the value of our airport. Not only from a pilot's perspective, but from the city's perspective, from the commerce perspective, it's huge. And it's really a big deal. We're starting to develop some of these things. And he's going to go home and tell his friends what kind of a beautiful place it was, what kind of facilities our airport has, how beautiful Newport is. And we just need to stay on it and keep promoting the airport and getting services down there.
It has. And I had a ride around today with Laura Swanson. Councilwoman, is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm. Councilor
Laura Swanson, and she, we had a great ride around. She asked me all sorts of good questions, and one of the things that I think gets kind of lost in translation is that sometimes when people who don't work at the airport every day, and I'm not saying she did this, but it was something that I brought up, is as a community, they look and they say, well, you know, why do we have an airport for just 30 people up there who house their planes? Well, I was talking with Laura. I was like, yeah, we don't only do that for the 30 people, but you got to think of all the planes that fly. And I said, we get 6,000 planes a year. Each of those planes have 2 to 4 people on them.
Right.
You know, you times that out, all those people are coming into
and
Newport.
Spending money.
They're spending money.
Yeah.
So you're flying in 10, 12,000 people a year just to come into Newport, and they want to come here. You know, they have a choice to go anywhere in an aircraft, but they choose to come here because of our facility, because of
right.
the community, and they love it here.
Right.
But that's kind of something that I think a lot it is lost sometimes mm-hmm. when we're looking at focusing on just general. They don't mm-hmm. see. It's kind of like the neighbor you never have. Well, he flies in, he goes to the house, he leaves, you never see him type
right.
of thing. So we have it's kind of cool to think about that
exactly.
we have that many people flying in just to come and visit.
Well, not only that, but the commercial perspective, you know, from the mm-hmm. from the FEMA perspective, you know, things that the general commoner and the citizen don't, they're not aware of the value of that airport.
Coast Guard.
You know, Coast Guard air ambulances.
And
you know,
FedEx.
And
right, yeah.
It goes on and on and on.
Well,
so.
And the state also did name us as a reliever airport for the coast for a tsunami event. Everything would be shipped to Redmond, and then from Redmond they would fly all the equipment to Newport.
These are the things that the council members and the mayor and these are the things that people need to know.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, and that was the other thing brought up was the, you know, it kind of was an eye-opener for her, and we had a great, great time, but just as an example, our Doppler VOR that we have, you know, I said everybody who's flying out to Hawaii or vice versa coming from, you know, Seattle, they use that Doppler signal to locate to come back in.
Right.
So I said, you know, we have a small base community, but we really, you know, worldwide is what we
exactly.
cater to just with the equipment we have up on the field.
Right.
So it is very important.
Well, you're doing a great job with that, and that Facebook page is a lot of fun.
It is. I like it when people are commenting, too. I finally got some people to start commenting, which is nice, because then I can interact with people.
Right. Have to go see if anyone commented on my
airplane. Someone did, actually. Yeah, she's like, is that Doug?
You hadn't seen that. That's right. You came out and looked at the hangars, but I was off.
You looked at your truck.
You saw my truck. When I was up in Seattle, probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's all that I got, FBO to report and operations report. Perfect. So.
Okay, update on some of the capital projects out there and the FAA grants, the Part 139 certification, the signage, and the pavement markings. We will be bidding that spring, and it has to be done completed by July 1st. So we kind of got a late start last year, and it was not a problem to get it extended, but this is it. It will happen, and they should not have any reasons not to be able to do it completed by July 1st.
Is that the AIP?
That's grant? AIP 19.
Okay. Yeah.
And then AIP 20 and
so
21.
So what will be completed by July?
It's the signage. And pavement markings.
On Echo there, right after mm-hmm. 2.
And the taxi is number 2.
Yeah. Threshold runway.
What's Echo? Is it going to get renamed? Or?
No, it's still going to stay Echo. They're going to put instead of all the hold shorts coming down, mm-hmm. they're going to get rid of all those, move some signage, and they're going to put a 2 approach bar in basically right on the other side of where FedEx parks. Parks. So that will turn all of that into an actual taxiway instead of a runoff situation, I guess.
Mm-hmm. It is kind of precarious how runway 20 kind of dissipates.
Really.
The whole thing, whatever you do, because the whole thing is confusing as hell.
It is.
If you don't live here, and if you do live here, it's also confusing as hell.
Right. Now I'm on the runway. Now I'm not.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I when you cross that white line, yeah.
That's right. Okay, go ahead.
And then the AIP 20 and 21, which is the 1634 rehab, the pre-design activities, design and partial funding for the construction. The pre-design report is in and been reviewed by the FAA, and their preferred alternative was a complete rebuild of the runway. And what we had known for some time that it was going to be a crown section. They considered briefly shed, holding it. Nope, has to be a crown. And so there were 4 options presented: full depth asphalt, kind of a hybrid of that, a half rebuild, which was another hybrid, and then just a complete rebuild of the sub base and then the asphalt section. And that was actually the least costly alternative at $7.8 million. The full depth asphalt, building the entire crown out of asphalt, was $8.8 million. So,
does that mean they're going to grind it up?
We're going to grind up asphalt
and spit it back out.
Pardon?
And spit it back out.
Well, we had just a sub discussion the other day. It's going to be used on the perimeter roads, ring roads. Hmm. So, it's one of the bigger disposal parts for that. In terms of timeline, there's more or less 3 options, and the one that we're proceeding on is to bid and build it this year. That's probably not very likely that's going to happen. The second alternative would be to bid it this year, do some of the work this construction season, and then do the runway portion next construction season, summer 2014. And then probably the most preferred alternative is have the design in the can. We bid it next winter and do the complete project spring and summer of 2014. And the funds are flowing. We've got the final paperwork on our. We've been awarded the Connect Oregon 4 ODOT grant for $448,000, but everything's signed, sealed, delivered, recorded, so we'll be able to start drawing off of that now. And so everything's kind of moving forward.
Has there been any pullback or talk of pullback from the FAA as a result of the sequester and the
No, and I wanted to make sure I wasn't losing my mind. I was talking with our consultant today because I asked that specific question. I said, you know, what's the risk of these various time scenarios we have and sequester and everything else? The money for Newport has been allocated. It is there. Our FAA person, Kevin Lashaw, said there's no risk to Newport to not get this project funded.
Now, are there date requirements that it has to be obligated on our end, or, you know, fear that the money expires? I know with contracts, you normally have to have start work within the fiscal year of the funds.
Right.
And they're probably 2-year funds.
The way it's kind of worked was, and that's why we're still obligated to try to get it to bid and build this year.
Mm-hmm.
but everybody at the FAA realizes that may not be the most economic scenario, actually, because it would be a compressed time frame and some of the risk associated would be reflected in the bids. It may be better to split that. So the rough round numbers, it was a $9 million project. Mm-hmm. And the way the AIP grants have fallen, 19 was the signage and pavement markings, 20 was for several hundred thousand. And 21, I don't want to say it was a gift to us this year, but it was unexpected for us to be awarded this portion this year. Mm-hmm. It was another $6 plus million. Mm-hmm. So there was enough there for all the design activities, but not enough to complete the construction. So we've got right. a lot of the money already, not only allocated, but kind of committed, if you will.
Yeah. Just to interrupt really quick on this, that was the other thing I was going to bring up was AIPs in this FAA administration. When they were talking about the cutbacks, and it actually states in here there was an emphasis by the FAA that AIP is exempt from sequester, so we don't have to worry about it.
That part of the budget isn't subject to Congress. That's all. It's reimbursable, kind of, right?
Some AIP projects are reimbursable. Some of the costs is, but
that they take in through, you know, the use fees and
that comes out as
the general fund or
the
whatever
fuel tax and the passenger ticket tax is what funds the money that then goes into AIP.
Right, so it's not a congressional mother may I for those things, right?
No, right. Yes.
So financially, there's really not a risk to us.
Even a matching money, matching funds?
Again, just rough round numbers, $9 million project overall. We're committed to have a 10% match.
Which is $1 million.
Which would be $1 million. And $450,000, that's coming from the state.
What about the other $500,000?
That will be ours.
Yeah.
And
since
we've
been budgeting.
It's in there.
Budgeted
it's being
part
budgeted,
of it this
yes.
Okay.
There's someone here?
Yeah. There's a plan to.
Perfect. So, Ted, how much have we spent so far on this project? On the engineering?
On the pre-design report.
Pre-design. Right. I'd love to see a report.
That would be,
I haven't seen anything.
Well, it's still review form, and they're going to finalize it, and that'll be a final report. Should have that shortly.
And that's drainage, underlayment, make sure we can handle the additional weight, all that kind of stuff.
Yes, all the cross-section design and so forth. Let's see here. About $400,000.
So the city spent that much already?
Oh, no, the city's portion. No, that's how much has been reimbursed.
Right.
Yeah, we've spent roughly $40,000.
On this project?
Yeah.
MHC report would be fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now we'll be able to access the ODOT funds to
get the ball rolling.
So is it more a matter of getting approvals in place to actually issue and process the bids? Is that what's going to make the calendar slide?
The calendar sliding because there's a fair amount of engineering detail design drawings that have to be done. Still have to be done. A lot of the, if you will, the analytical work has kind of been done in the pre-design, but then it's actually, turning the crank and getting the production drawings. I don't know how big of a set of drawings this is going to be, but it's got to be big.
Oh, yeah.
Is the airway facilities side of the FAA, or I guess it's called tech ops these days, they're all on board now? And
They're actually kind of dragging their feet, and that makes that third option of spreading it over, having design done, and then fitting it would be the cleanest because we haven't even got a final estimate from them yet, and we have to front the money to the FAA, and then we will get reimbursed 90% of that from the FAA, the different division. But their initial estimate was $900,000 for the nav aids. This is not my business.
Go GPS.
but those that this is their business was very floored by that, really kind of incredulous about that amount. And the person that's working on the project is Ruslan Marashenko. He's pretty green. Just as an engineer, seeing another engineer, he's pretty green. Mm-hmm. And I would say the FAA or the aviation consultant we're working with would probably say the same thing.
So that could be good and that could be bad.
Yeah.
Well,
you've met Ruslan, haven't you?
Yeah, he was out with David Yee when the FAA was supposed to be doing their surveying on their buildings. And it was my understanding that they were they were going to put, whenever this project goes in, they were going to put one of their guys, Ruslan, down in here. A hotel, so he was on site during the whole project.
Yes.
And that, seeing how the calendar has changed, that still could be him if he's still around, or you know, if he doesn't get repositioned somewhere. But they are supposed to have somebody here on site every day during the actual part of it. And a lot of the other thing, you know, all of the, when everything is said and done, some of the, you know, all the lights have to be moved in. All the light wire needs to be put in conduit. Yeah. All of the
because you're getting the a narrow runway.
Right. Yeah, all of the circuits need to be fixed so that they're operating the correct. You know, you have two light circuits and a sign circuit, and there are some signs, unfortunately, that were wired into a light circuit. That, you know, they're not operating. So they're getting everything back to what is. Well, actually, not back to, but to the current standard. Right. There is a lot of more than what I obviously thought. I was like, yeah, it's gonna be like a road. Go and rip it up, and it's like, no, you got to move the lights in, you got to move the signs in, you got to have all these sign bases done, you got to have all of this, and you have to have all of the FAA equipment has to be completely recalibrated. So that's also a long phase.
Time to move the VOR, huh?
Yeah, we had a discussion about that.
Maybe we get some volunteers to do it, man. So just see how they feel about that.
When I was talking with David Yee, he was the gentleman that put that VOR in.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and that
he built it himself.
Yeah, he did from matchsticks, if I remember correctly.
It was a Heathkit thing, right?
Yeah. But it's a Doppler VOR, which is a lot different than a regular VOR. It has 51 antennas, where regular VOR has like 26. Well, the FAA is getting rid of all of the regular VORs, but not the Doppler VORs, because they're finding that they're more useful than what they were giving them credit for. The only problem is that, and this is David Yee, in the grand scheme of things, the Doppler VOR doesn't have the same effect, or when you know when equipment is running around a Doppler VOR, or buildings are built near a Doppler VOR, it doesn't have the same effect on it as a regular VOR.
Does so the same as VOR DME?
So no. Really, no, it says that a VOR has to be within 500 feet of the runway. Well, a Doppler VOR you can put anywhere, and he said they have studies right now done where they have taxiways 5 feet from a Doppler VOR does not affect the signal at all.
Wow.
So what they're saying, what he said is that if we want to get rid of that hill and we want to eventually do maybe a full-length parallel runway,
taxiway,
we would grind the hill down, move the radial antennas to a 9-foot tall structure just so it's 9 feet off the ground of it, the base of it, and he said that should work fine. But he said, I'm just an engineer, what the hell do I know? You know, type thing. It wasn't a guarantee, it was just something to kick around. So that I thought was pretty interesting.
Put it on the other side.
The reason they put the Doppler VORs in, well, they didn't have them when they first started putting VORs in the 1950s, they hadn't invented the Doppler antenna system yet.
Right.
But the reason they found them advantageous, they're less subject to reflectivity. And so we have problems with reflections and signal variation that fixed a lot of problems. So a lot of VORs are going to flight check. Yeah. They replaced them, this being one of them, one over Redmond's, another one up on that center beam, and places like that. Uh-huh. They started putting them in, and now that's all they're putting in. Mm-hmm. But it has nothing to do with the tack in version.
All right. So that was kind of interesting. So eventually, you know, that might be something we could put into the master plan, is getting that parallel taxiway. Mm-hmm. So, but it'll be a... It'll be an ongoing process, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
So,
someday when we're all dead and gone.
Yeah, hopefully the next generation. Hopefully we don't leave such a large mess for the next generation to go, what the hell were they thinking?
Get smaller and put out of the way.
That's it. And on the pre-design report, just kind of checking with me. I should have it soon. I mean, all the decisions have been made and moving forward, and they're putting together a scope for the actual design work. And so it's just kind of a matter of clerically getting the final pre-design report. Should happen over next week or so.
So you'll need the engineering documents before bid, essentially, is what you're saying.
That's
one of the questions I had, and I'm glad that Ralph brought up in regards to the money still being available. And, I'm pleased to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, and he was emphatic about it, that, nope, there's no risk to you not having this project on. Yeah.
Hangar releases?
Oh, all righty.
All right, we'll see you all later.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks.
See you, Ted.
Thank you.
You bet.
Hangar, we believe Peggy has been working diligently on this, and... No, we know that Peggy has been working diligently on the hangar leases, and they have been corrected and sent out, and anybody can come in and discuss if there's some type of issue that they have. We're open for discussion, I guess.
Well, there are a few issues, and just to bring you up to date, in terms of the box hangers, there were only three box hangers that had current leases of all the box hangers out there. Yours was one, OSU was
you
one, and Ray Hunt was the other one. So all the other people have received new box hanger leases based on the lease that this group discussed last summer, and then Ralph worked with Jim Boatberg and did some tweaking to it. So that's been changed. And the couple people who signed the lease, like OSU and Jim Grassley, whose lease was current also, we have revised their leases to reflect the lower square footage rate.
And how much was it? 20?
It was 27 in the lease you looked at, and it got decreased to 22. So Grassley and OSU had leases with 27 cents per square foot. They've been reduced to 22. Like Lance said, I mean, it was every single lease letter had something different in it. some of the hangar lessees needed to make some repairs on their hangars, so we sent them the photographs that were included with the movie that we had in here a few months back, and so they got those. I got a phone call just before we came in here from somebody who had the wrong attachment on her lease, so we'll be making those little revisions. In terms of the T-hangers, all the T-hangers are full. Every T-hanger lessee should have received a new lease. I think we finished that up on Friday.
Well, guess what? It's time to build some more.
How many people do you have on the waiting list?
It's time to build more hangers.
Well, I don't... Do you have... Two. How many more do you have on the waiting list?
Two.
Were there four before recently? Because we just...
There were four, but people have been... that
I'm lucky to have got mine. I think it was the last of the ones available.
Yeah, they to bring up, I guess, the uglier side of it would be the billing, and there's been some issues with the billing. And
I noticed that.
You know, some of the people up there were still trying to get a hold of to figure out what they want to do with this, what they want to do with their hangar, what they want to do with their plane that they have in the hangar, and getting a hold of some of the people. You know, one gentleman had some severe health issues, and his family didn't realize what was going on, so they sold the plane and stuff, and that gave, you know, a hangar open for one of the people on the list to come in and finally take. But there's a couple more hangars up there that we're still trying to say, hey, what do you guys want to do? And we're still waiting for those people.
And you're referring to the T-hangers?
Yes, just the T-hangers. Yeah, the box hangers are a separate issue, yeah. And then the three executive hangers.
It'd be interesting to investigate what and where a new set of maybe not so many T-hangers, but prefab construction would be smart on the pad just behind the
floor. I was wondering if you could form like a subcommittee to see the feasibility of something like that, because
you're going to be $250,000 just to get started. I mean, you're going to have some money from somewhere. The FAA is no longer, I believe, given AIP money for hangers.
For hangers.
No, I think
that even if you put signage on it?
Well, they didn't for years. And then they did for a short period.
Brief.
Yeah.
And then I think with the last authorization or something, they don't do it. I mean, you can check that out. But I'm thinking now they don't, which means you'd have to have it privately funded.
Well,
right.
If we've got a waiting list, and if we can show the city council that we can make money long term, an investment of
bucks a month.
That is, you know, that's one of the a part of the T-hanger lease that just went out, is that yes, the T-hanger lease is 180 until January, but it will go up to 195 then. But even at 195, I don't know.
Yeah.
You're talking about making.
I mean, I hate to say this because I know you guys don't want to pay any more, but that's a hell of a deal.
It's a deal compared to what I had in Virginia, but it's comparable to what you have up in Washington State when I was looking around west of Seattle. So,
but the point is, with that kind of income, you can't make a return of $250,000 to build them. That's the bad news. You know, you have to pull down $300,000-$400,000 to.
Yeah.
I just hate to see
pilots be turned away because we don't have hangars.
I mean, it's nice. It's a bummer. Of course, there's a lot of box hangers for sale right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of box hangers for sale, and we need to really do some good investing in the infrastructure of the airport as far as the building, because I know that, you know, the building needs a new roof and two new walls, and you know, the north wall needs to be replaced.
Well, that should be part south
on the FBO.
The roof on the T hangers. There's some issues going on with that as well. The other thing that we found out was that on T hangar one, where Ed is at, when the water runs, it's running. When it runs under the pad, it's pooling and it's seeping up through the cracks in his floor. So we have.
Needs a drain.
It is a seaplane base. Yeah, it is a seaplane, so he's in the perfect hangar. But the problem is that they, you know, they're
shut up, put his floats on.
Yeah, they're put your damn floats on. But yeah, there's a few things that we need to look at, and we've discussed those with to get them into the budget. And that would be the first thing is getting that roof redone, and at least because it. You know, I agree with you, Mark. We do need some more hangers out there. But right now I'm looking at it, and we're not really doing the maintenance required on the two that we have.
Yeah, that should be a priority.
Yeah. So, I mean, that long term, I definitely want to get something else built out there on that back row or even on the other row, even if it's just five or six or three or whatever, but something. We need to have some more hangers out there.
It would be nice.
So.
Are those items in your budget for this coming year?
Some of them are, yes, and we have not finalized anything. Jim has been helping us through the process of the budget cycle. So, but it is in there. We have some things in there, and we're going to have to go back and look and say, all right, with what we have to match for our matching, is this something that we really, you know, need to do or move around and stuff? And so, I mean, it's not finalized, but it is in there. It is in front of people's minds.
So, yes, is this an inappropriate time to put in to find out how much it would be to put pads and some T hangers and put that in the budget, or are we wasting our time with that, Ralph?
Well, my opinion is if you run the numbers, I mean, figure what it's going to cost to build the T hangers, and that's not too hard because you can get an estimate from one of the big three manufacturers,
right?
And then figure the pad and foundation and all that, and then figure the rate of return you'll get on that money, and you know, what are you going to have to rent them for?
Over what period?
I guarantee you, it might be better than the long term when you consider the. It might be better than the rec center or the city pool.
It
might be a good deal.
But then, if you're going to start figuring public benefit, it's hard to argue public benefit on T hangers. I love airplanes and airports, but from a financial point of view, T hangers are not the best place to invest your money necessarily. That's all I can tell you. I've done it. I know.
Lance, have you ever run across somebody that's actually shown an interest in building your own T-hanger, just leasing the space from the city? That's another option.
We've had a couple people actually interested in building a hangar actually right between Greg Stanton's and basically the slot four. Mm-hmm. They had a building all lined up, but I think that fell through.
Anyway, that's another option.
But
there's outfits that I don't know how they're doing with the economy in the last 5 years, but there were several outfits back in the mid-2000s that were building condo hangars. They come in, they'd build like your 10 or 20 hangars back there. They would lease the whole plot from the city. They would turn it around, develop it, and basically turn it into condo hangars.
Right. And that's something. If somebody wants to come in and do that, the city would definitely entertain and, you know, talk to.
That's how they were at Manassas.
Yeah. So, ground link system is not AIP eligible, unfortunately. And the ground link system the initial system is $8,950. The installation is $1,200. If there is two sets of paperwork that needs to be filled out with that, and that's the FAA 7460 and the FCC license for that as well, which this company that was sent to me through the FAA does. But on top of that, they have to have surveying done. So the whole project, you're looking at their estimate on the high end would be about $35,000.
What is this ground lift?
So you can talk to the center.
Yeah.
So a repeater, essentially? Or?
No, it's not a repeater, but it serves the same purpose. Mm-hmm. Technically, it's a long doing. It goes over a phone line. Ah. It's automatic dialing. So.
Okay. And the center is 100% on board with us doing that. They love the idea because it would work with pilot controlled lighting. Trying to find the money for it is another issue. So.
By the way, before we leave hangars, and I know we've already left, several of the owners of the box hangars are probably going to be getting new roofs in the next couple of 3 months.
From the same provider?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We probably got about, pick a number, somewhere between 5 and 10. Probably end up being 5 or 6, you know, and people that are interested in Rich Figgins, who's been kind of leading the parade, getting estimates.
So the final numbers are in now?
What's that?
The final numbers are in?
Well, I think he sort of got it down to the best guy.
Right.
So I don't want
to
say that it's absolutely for sure, but in the end, we thought about going metal, you know. And in the end, from talking about 10 roofers and different things, kind of looks like architectural shingles. And just 30-year architectural shingles, 6 nails tabbed down. And
nails, not staples.
Right. But probably looking at, for yours and mine, a little under 5,000, which I think is pretty
keep me posted. I have a question about the leases. And I know you worked with Jim Voprick on this. Did we get an approval from our local ADO about instituting the new leases?
I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know if, you know, Gene Cosi was the guy that started that process. He claimed he talked to the FAA. Who he talked to, how much he talked to them, I don't know.
Well, my interest is...
He didn't work with the city attorney. Whether she did or not, I don't know. Is there an absolute requirement? I don't believe that.
Well, my best interest is, you know, for our city airport first and an individual hangar owner second. I want to make sure that's for the record. But there's a couple of things in the lease, and I've got the federal restrictions, the FAA ADO restrictions regarding leases, and there are several issues that I'm very concerned about when it comes to the federal diversion of funds in our current leases that we sent out. And unless somebody complains, it's no big deal. But if somebody does complain, we could be in big trouble from the FAA. So I think it's very important that somebody do the research and find out if we've got a final permission or a final approval. And the FAA doesn't really approve them.
As far as I know,
what they say is there's nothing in here that crosses over the federal diversion of funds. For example, if we get money to repair taxiways, there shouldn't be an amendment in our lease to where the hangar owners are responsible for repairing the runways or the taxiways. It's federal diversion of funds, and I'm concerned about that, and I think that we should find out if we have the approval, if those have been approved from our local ADO.
Is it taxiway or taxi lane?
Well, what's the difference?
That's not
spelled out in the lease either.
Would be non-controlled by the under. It wouldn't be under FAA regulations. Where a taxi way would be, you know, basically controlled by the FAA under their regulations. Like a taxi, taxi lane would be pretty much what is in front of the
around the T hangars.
Right. So I'm assuming a taxi lane.
I thought
would
they
also
got
the
taken
same.
Out anyway. I thought when I talked to Jim that the.
I really don't want to get into details. I just want to make sure that this thing has been approved.
Well, no, it's good because we have to cover ourselves and make sure that every party is covered in a way where nobody is going to get in any
Exactly,
trouble.
Because our federal grant money could be at stake if this thing
for some reason it hasn't been checked, or there's issues in the lease that could point to diversion of funds.
Well, we can check that out.
So, well, I would like, yeah,
I
would like it to be
checked out. I'd like to know where that is, because I thought we took that out.
Well, you, could you help me find out where that is in the lease so we can?
Yeah, well, Mark.
Do you have it marked in there, Mark?
Well, my partner has the other lease. And again, I want to not really focus on that, but anything in there that could be construed as diversion of funds or one-sidedness. The lease has to be a mutual agreement and doesn't show favor to the FAA-owned airport, or in the Newport's case, the sponsor.
Right.
You know, it can't be a one-sided.
No, it can't.
Agreement.
It has to be a level playing field.
Exactly, and that's why I think it's important. And Joelle Briggs is a lady, and I've talked to her several times. She's our ADO representative. And I think before we send these out and get too many of these instituted that we have her blessing, that there
is... Well, they're all sent out. I mean, everyone who has a box hanger got a copy, two copies of those.
Well, and, you know, Peggy Ruff will tell you, you know, drafting a lease on a federally owned airport is different than drafting a lease with an apartment. It's a whole different ballgame.
Well, we would hope. I mean, it's not that we don't agree with that. We want to make it right.
I want to make it right, too.
So who at FAA would review it?
I guess I'll call Joelle Briggs.
Yeah.
I would have hoped that this
It's not an approval process, but having somebody's eyes.
All I know is I remember having a conversation with him, and he said he'd been talking to FAA. I don't know what.
Well, take that for
or did
take that with a grain of salt, because he's not here anymore.
Yeah, I'll give her a call, and I'll send her a copy of the lease.
They got a boilerplate from the state that they don't know their leases that they use.
There is a boilerplate lease that the state has.
Right, and I forward all of that. I got that from the state and forwarded all that information on.
But you had to just write down your specific comments that the one you brought out, because I thought that particular one got.
Well, Ralph, you and I, you know, when this first came out, matter of fact, you were, you know,
I wrote a whole
November
bunch of
2011.
But about half those got.
Well, but it wasn't brought to this committee. And it was tabled. We had questions. Everybody's going to get back to us with a revised edition of the lease before they were sent out. It didn't happen. And I'm a little upset about that.
Well, I apologize for that. I thought that that had all been vetted by this committee.
And I understand this is an advisory committee. And you guys can send them out without checking with this committee, but Ralph had six pages here, and I would have hoped that we would have had a revised issue of the lease. So there were other issues in the lease that we were going to send out that we could talk about them before they got sent out. I feel like that this is kind of a backdoor deal, and this committee didn't have a chance to look at the revised leases before they were sent out.
Well, I apologize for that.
Yeah, he's correct in the sense that. We got them initially, and that was only after, well, that was over Gene Cosi's objection in the first place. His comment was, I don't have to show you guys anything, quote unquote.
Exactly. And that's why you really don't want to brief in the response
anyway,
to the ADO.
Anyway, he did give it to us, and we did comment, and that's when I wrote the six pages.
But Ralph, your concerns have not been addressed.
Well, then some of those... Gene then, as far as I know, the history, and I may be wrong, Gene then talked to the city attorneys, about that. Some of those were accepted, some of them weren't. But anyway, and from that came a revised version, and that is the one that myself and OSU and Jim Grassley got as a lease to sign, because I requested it. And then I took mine, and I had some more concerns, which Jim and I then negotiated, if you will. And that is the one that I ended up signing, which then ended up being the draft that was sent out to everybody else.
That's why the three of you have leases already.
Yeah.
But it was never brought back to this committee, which perhaps it should.
Well, that's my fault. So we will. I mean, it's hard to know what to do since no one has a lease out there hardly, but...
Well, I'll tell you what to do.
We can.
Why don't everybody write their own leases?
Several grand assurances.
Yeah, right.
Somehow I think that piece won't fly, but you know, I was just
Peggy. I take this very seriously,
and I take my time
very seriously. And just like when I say I'm going to contact the chamber, I contacted the chamber.
Right.
And it was tabled in this committee. It's in the minutes. that these issues will be addressed and they will be brought back before this committee before the leases are sent out to the hangar owners. You know, it didn't happen. So now, I'm not speaking for an individual hangar owner. I'm speaking for a committee member. And I've seen too many times in this city where back deals have been done without any knowledge, without any discussion, without any input.
That was never the intent, Mark.
I understand that. And that's why I want to make sure that it's stated very clearly that what was supposed to happen in agreements and everybody voted on it did not happen here.
Let me talk to Jim when he gets back and get...
Well, don't tell him who's concerned.
No, I won't. He's going to listen to the tape.
But again, it's a serious deal. Has the FAA been, been involved in this?
We will find out. No, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I assumed when he said they're ready to go ahead and send these leases to the hangar.
Well, maybe we could get in Gene Cosey's office and find out. But
is his office locked?
No, not locked. They took the computer out of it.
Could you go in his office and see if there's anything?
I don't think it'd be fair for Lance to do that.
Well,
I really don't.
Well, do you want me to go out there?
Well, somebody needs to find out if our ADO has been contacted and approved this lease because it's on their property.
Our ADO is Joelle Briggs?
I believe so.
She's at least somebody we've communicated with. I know that.
Check with her then.
Yeah. I think so. She would be a good one to start.
Actually, FAA Legal has to be the one that would do that. I would suppose that the airport's people would just send it to the legal office in the region anyway.
Well, I'll do that.
And again, it's out of the concern for our airport as a whole.
Right.
Not for me as a hangar owner. I can deal with you later on that individual, individual business. This is not the place, but I want to make sure that our bases are covered. So again, because bad things happen to the FAA. Ralph can probably tell you some horror stories about funding being, no? Yeah, I bet. I would hate to see our grant money be at jeopardy.
Absolutely.
Because
we
just decided to do something on our own. So I don't want to do that. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Anything else?
Good job, Lance Terry. I love your airport. I hope my Christmas lights are still approved and they can.
Yeah, we're getting a little late into the year.
Oh, they got them up in Eddyville. I can
keep up. Yeah. Well, yeah, then they become St. Patty's lights, don't they?
I'm going to spray paint them green.
Yeah.
Anything else? Peggy, thank you for working
You're
on
welcome.
The leases. The mayor told me she was going to select you for the represent the council on the committee.
Okay.
I'm glad to see you came aboard. We value. I value your comments, and for you two, thank you for Dave, so we could have a meeting.
Okay. Finally, yes.
Yeah. In months.
And thank you for coming in.
Oh, who's going to be? Yeah, who's going to be the official liaison between? Is it going to be you?
Yeah.
So who is our committee members now?
It's the only people who are missing are Thomas Knott and Jeff Burleigh.
And Jeff Burleigh. Okay.
Yeah.
That poor guy.
Yeah.
We need to send him a sympathy card.
Okay, that's it then. Thank you.
This is perfect timing. We need this room for another